Start today with a story. We'll get right into this. I want to tell you a story. I used to play the fiddle for various people, mostly in Oklahoma. And one evening I was playing the fiddle with Jamie Smith. She's a great praise and worship leader from around the Edmond area. And we were playing at a big Life Church Bible study that they had on every Tuesday night. And there was probably, they got in between 700 and 1,000 people there in their church for this Tuesday night Bible study. And I was playing the fiddle with Jamie Smith. Anybody heard of Jamie Smith? Okay, a few of you. Great praise and worship leader, right? And great lady. So we were playing and we had just finished rehearsing. Everybody wave. Jesus loves you. So we just finished rehearsing and setting up, and we're about to start the service. And I've got my fiddle. I never set my fiddle down on the floor because I'm afraid I or someone will step on it. So I'm holding my fiddle in one arm, and somebody brings me a water bottle to the band. We're right behind the stage, and so I've got this water bottle. I'm going to get a drink right before we start the service. But you know, it's difficult to hold the fiddle and the bow and the water bottle and try to get it open. And so I just sat down on the edge of the stage, at the back of the stage. And I'll just hold the water bottle in between my legs and pop it up. So we're talking a couple of minutes, seriously, like 2 or 3 minutes till service starts. And I have on a pair of khaki colored pants. And now these khaki colored pants have a big spot on the leg, both legs. So I'm like, oh my goodness, what do I do? I'm just blank. I don't know what to do. I don't want to stand in front. Guess where I'm standing? I'm standing just to the right of Jamie Smith, front stage. So almost front and center. And I've got spotted britches on. And I just didn't know what to do. I didn't want to get out there in front. I thought, can I play it back behind stage? So I had the bright idea of doing this. I thought, well, instead of just one spot on my britches, what if I just sprinkle water around other places so maybe that will make it kind of cool? Now, I'm going to continue that story in a little bit, but I want to go to another story. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And verse 3:17 says, and God did not send him into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's what we celebrate today, and that's what I want to talk to you about. Amen. Jesus Christ, the very Son of the living God, came to this earth as a man, lived a perfect life. He was fully man, fully God, lived a perfect life, even though he was tempted, just like we were tempted. And he suffered, died on a cross, buried for 3 days, and rose again, ascended to the right hand of the Father. But my question is today, why? What's the motivation? What's the purpose? Why did all this happen? Why did it have to happen this way? Now, some people say, well, that's rude. How disrespectful is that? But I think maybe it's more disrespectful when we don't investigate and understand and realize the true reason, the total reason and purpose that Jesus Christ, our Savior, did what he did for us. If we go through our lives with kind of a knowledge of it, you know, maybe that's more disrespectful than asking why. So I ask why. I did a little study of the amount of times that Jesus himself tells us why he came to earth. And several times he said, this is why I've come, or this is my purpose. And then a few other times in the New Testament, other writers say, basic bottom line why it was that Jesus came. And that was 12 different times it says in the New Testament, he came to save us from sins. He came to ransom his life. For instance, in Mark 10:45, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life ransom for many. That's what Jesus said. And in Luke 19:10, he says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. But why, and why did it have to happen that way? So, I want to go back a wee bit and look at this. For God created, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I know what you're thinking. Whoa, 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 too far. We've got breakfast coming up in a little bit, and we don't have time for you to go through the whole Bible. I'm going to fly through some of the Old Testament and the New Testament so that we can get a good understanding of why Jesus did what he did. Because I believe when we better understand the Old Covenant, we will better understand the New Covenant or the New Testament, right? So, is God's initial design. In the beginning, God wanted man to choose to live in the very presence of God. Relationship. I believe that's why mankind was created in the first place. Relationship. In the Garden of Eden, they could enjoy the very presence of the Almighty God. However, they had to choose that. And they chose to rebel and sin. And like Genesis 3:8 says, they hid themselves. So they knew they had done wrong. So when they did that and when they sinned, separation happened between God and man. Because human imperfection cannot live in the same space. It cannot share the same space.
They missed you.
Human imperfection cannot share the same space as a holy and mighty God. As a matter of fact, it's kind of like the effects of the sun. And I learned this from a BibleProject.com video. But it said this, they taught that, you know, the sun is beautiful. And we're watching it rise today. And it's bright. And sometimes in Oklahoma, we have some of the most beautiful sunsets. And it's wonderful. It's a beautiful thing that we have. And it's absolutely necessary for many reasons. For our livelihood, to keep us alive. However, if you physically get too close to the sun, it can damage you, and it can even kill you, right? It's beautiful, it's essential, but it's dangerous. And that's like the presence of God. So holy and so perfect that an imperfect human can't be in the same space. And so there's a separation. So Adam and Eve chose to sin. They were kicked out of the garden. And more than that, they were evicted from the very presence of God. However, God still desired to be among his people. So that's when sacrifices began. There must be a way to rid mankind of his own sins so that man and God can once again hang out. Restored relationships. So this was the plan for the blood sacrifices, to pay for man's sins. The sacrifice of the life of an animal would temporarily cleanse a man from his sins. Blood equals life. In Leviticus 17:11 it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So the animal took God's wrath of death instead of mankind. And now, with man's sins atoned for or paid for, man could now enjoy the presence of God. Restored relationship. All right? So then God raised the people, his people. They were called the Israelites. And he created an agreement between the Israelites, like a covenant or a contract. There was things that God agreed to do and things that his people agreed to do, right? And they realized that in order to, well, they realized that God wanted to live among them. That was God's goal, restored relationship. God told Moses in Exodus 25:8, "Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them." Restored relationship, the presence of God. They knew that if they stayed in a pure state, that they could continue to enjoy the blessings and the presence of God. But they also knew that if they chose to rebel and not stay in a pure state, that that could be very dangerous for them. And things would go bad, right? As we've seen many times happen in the Israelites' life and probably our life as well. But God desired relationship. He wanted to be their God and he wanted them to be their people, but that was their choice. So with the priests and the altars and the things, the rituals that they had to go through, man could sacrifice for his mistakes, removing the separation between God and man, and he could enjoy God's presence, restored relationship. Then there's a new covenant, or the New Testament, the good news, the gospel. God comes up with even a better plan. It was important for the first plan to happen, and now God has this second plan. It's a better plan. It restores relationship with mankind, but even better, because now God can be in a better and deeper place with his people, not just living in a temple, in the church, or in the Holy of Holies, but God can actually live on the inside of us. So he's closer. Amen. And it's not just Israelite people or people that convert to Judaism, but it's everybody. Amen. God so loved the world. So he includes everybody in this New Testament. God desired to live in among his people. But there's still this issue of sin. Mistakes that we make. Faults that we have. A separation between God and the people that choose him. We still need a way to rid ourselves of sin. If God could provide a perfect sacrifice of blood and life to satisfy the covenant, then mankind could accept that gift and live in the presence of God. Because of this perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, all our sins are paid for. Righteousness, or right standing with God, is now available to each one of us. God's presence is now available every day of our lives. We don't have to go to a temple. We don't have to go to a priest. It's right there because God is within us. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." When that happens, there's no longer a separation between God and man. He can actually live on the inside of us. And Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians 6:16. "We are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people." Jesus was that perfect sacrifice. But we must also realize that when he rose from the dead, that was just as important as the sacrifice. We understand now that the sacrifice is essential. It's also important that we realize that the resurrection is just as important. You see, because if Jesus had actually just died and simply stayed that way, he would have proven himself just to be a man, and the sacrifice that was paid for our sins would be temporary, just like an animal would have been. And Jesus also would have proved himself a liar because he said that he was going to be raised again, right? Even Paul says this. 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, "And if Christ had not been raised, your faith is worthless. you are still in your sins. So the resurrection is still very important.
Amen.
Hebrews 10:12 says, but he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. In Ephesians 2:13, talking to you, you've heard me say separation many times. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And we celebrate that today, that one perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins. So we can have access on a daily basis to the Almighty God, just like God's initial plan in the Garden of Eden. Constant access to God. Restored relationship. Say that with me. Restored relationship. One more time. Restored relationship. We can actually live in the presence of God. Now, back to my spotted britches story. Don't roll your eyes. So now I have these spots all over my jeans, which you have to admit is better than one. But I still feel embarrassed. I still wish that I didn't have to get up in front of this crowd. I still wish that I wasn't on the front row. What in the world do I do? So service is starting, so I kind of just duck my head and I get my stuff and I get ready and I'm on the front of the stage and about to play. And I don't know what to do except not look at anybody. So I'm just head down. So during the first song, I look down at my spots. And the spots are gone, almost like miraculously, they're gone. Wow. I don't see them anywhere. And let me tell you, I felt great. One of the best praise and worship services I've ever been involved in. I lifted my head up high. I was happy. I was thankful. And I did praise and worship with this church like never before. It was a fantastic thing. No more spots. And God reminded me. That's why. Because in my life, I had spots. Some of the spots were on purpose, but some of the spots were by accident. Some of those dark spots, those rebellious moments, those sinful moments in my past, they made me feel ashamed. They made me feel guilty. I didn't want to be out front of anybody. I didn't want to stand in front of God. I wasn't living life to the fullest. I wasn't living an abundant life. I had spots in my life that made me feel guilty and ashamed and embarrassed. But God provided a way to make all those spots disappear. Amen.
Amen.
He provided a way, and all of a sudden my spots are gone completely. Forever. Never have to worry about those spots again. Colossians 2:13 and 14. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us. There were decrees against you, Walker, because of the mistakes that you've made. You have to pay for that. There were decrees against you, Gary, because of the stuff that's in your past. There were decrees against me. And he said he canceled them out. Verse 14, he has taken it out of the way and he nailed it to a cross. Amen. God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son for you. Whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus says in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that you know the only true God, Jesus, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We are saved in our sins. We are saved from our sins. So we are saved from the separation. Just like in the old days, when sin happened, separation happened. And when they took care of the sin, the separation was gone. Restored relationship. We now have access, because of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have access to the presence of God every day. Now, when I realize that, it causes me to reprioritize and rethink the things that I do every day of my life. Because you see, Resurrection Sunday is just as relevant to me on a Thursday afternoon as it is on Resurrection Sunday. Amen. It's just as relevant to me every day of the week for the rest of my life as it was the day that I got saved. Because Resurrection Sunday and his life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just about me getting to heaven. That's a great benefit and blessing, and I'm thankful for that. But that's not just what it's about. It's about restoring your relationship with your Father God. Being able to enjoy his presence every single day. Now I have to rethink what I do every day and how I live my life. Because this death and resurrection that we celebrate today is for that day and every day from here on out. God desires a relationship with you. For eternity, yes, definitely. But he desperately wants it to start right now, today. And that's the good news. That's the gospel. That's the love of God. But it's all up to you. So I ask you one more question today. How will you respond? If you would, bow your heads with me, please. If you're here today and you can honestly say, listen, I have never accepted Jesus as my Savior. I've never said I'm a sinner. I believe in you. I want you to be the Lord of my life. But you feel like today is the day that you want that to happen. I want you to raise your hands, if you would, please. Raise your hand and let me pray with you. Okay, let me ask you another question. If you're here today and you feel like maybe I haven't realized and remembered God's sacrifice enough for my everyday type of life and I want to rededicate my life, we're not going to ask you to come down. I just want you to have a physical action of raising your hand, and I'm going to pray with you today. You're rededicating your life. And I see hands going up. You're rededicating your life today. Today's the day to do it. I know that God's made a fantastic sacrifice, not just to get me to heaven, but to get me in the presence of God on a daily basis. Anybody else? Many hands went up. All right, I want to pray for you that's rededicating your life today. And I'm praying for myself too. God, it's so awesome to be out here in the sunshine, praying and talking to you, learning about you and your word. And God, I'm so thankful that I have some very honest and humble people here today that will say, I need to rededicate my life to my Savior. And we do that today, God. We come before you and say, listen, I've made mistakes and I've got spots in my life, and only you can get rid of those spots and get rid of the guilt and get rid of the shame. So God, I'm going to give it all to you. Take those spots away. Take the sins away from my life and wash me again. I apologize, and I'm going to be better. And because of the of the life of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection, because of the Holy Spirit, your Spirit that's living on the inside of me, I'm going to be better. And I thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, one more thing. We're going to pass out to the communion. If you would, please, ushers. It's a communion cup, and there's juice, and there's also the bread in it as well. Now, the neat thing about this, what we're doing today, is that when the communion actually happened the first time, thank you, sir, that they were eating a meal. And that's one thing that we're going to get to do today, is eat a meal together. We're going to commune together, if you're going to stay for breakfast right after. But we're going to do this now and remember what Jesus said. Sun warming everybody up a little bit. Feels good. Matthew 26:26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Let's go ahead and take the bread. Verse 27. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." So you may take of the cup. God, thank you for your sacrifice. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice, your body and your blood to cleanse us from our sins. We remember that today. And thank you so much for all that you have done. Thank you for growing us and loving us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy through all of our lives. And everything that we've done and everything that we will do, I thank you for always being there. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.